Our final interview concerns a new way of diagnosing major neurological disease by a simple eye test developed by scientists from University College London. The technique uses fluorescent markers to show evidence of nerve cell death in the retina, providing a window into the brain without having to rely on expensive MRI. And it could one day mean that early diagnosis of a neurological disease like Alzheimer's is as simple as a visit to your high street optician. Although the research has so far been tested only on mice, the team plan to run human tests by the end of the year. Gwyneth Morgan discusses these advances with Professor Francesca Cordeiro, who we interviewed in OQ57 about retinal ganglion cell death, and who is also leading this research at the Institute of Ophthalmology.
Alzheimer's is a notoriously difficult disease to diagnose, especially in its early stages. So what made you think that the eye could be, and especially the retina, could be used to indicate that disease?
We've known for quite a long time that the retina is an extension of the brain. And the same cells that you find in the brain, you find in the retina. Research has shown in some Alzheimer patients that they have changes in the retina, but these have been quite difficult to validate. And you've ended up having to wait until you have post-mortem samples to see whether or not this occurs. So the novelty of what we provided was very much based on the fact that we were, for the first time in vivo, able to show that there was abnormal activity in the retina in an Alzheimer's model, and that hadn't been done before.
So how does the new technique work?
So the new technique relies on cell death markers being visible because they fluoresce, they emit light. And because they have affinity to certain types of processes of cell death, you can pick up the different patterns based on what signals they send back to the camera. So you can see whether a cell is in the early stages of a particular form of death called apoptosis, or whether they're in the late phases of a form of death called necrosis, which is actually much further down the line.
What's the implications of the different forms of death?
The therapy, basically, and where the processes in the natural history of that disease. So, for example, we know that one of the earliest signs of something like Alzheimer's would be the fact that the cells are dying through apoptosis. So if you can identify that, then you can target that population of cells with a therapy that you know to be anti-apoptotic. The problem is much further down the line, you have a lot of different processes going on, such as necrosis, where your ability to modify the natural history is decreased. So your treatment is less effective the further down the disease process you go than right at the beginning.
Right, and that's presumably why it's so important to pick up Alzheimer's in its very early stages if you can.
That's right, absolutely. And that's true for any of the neurodegenerative processes, not just Alzheimer's, yeah.
So is there any difference between retinal cell death and sort of deeper brain cell death?
The actual process of cell death is exactly the same. The thing that we and others have been showing is that in Alzheimer's, for example, one of the proteins that's implicated, the one that is forming the plaques in brains, is also toxic in the retina. So the process of cell death in the retina, where it's been initiated by this plaque protein, is exactly the same as what would happen in the brain.
Back to the sort of clinical administration of this, how is the fluorescence administered?
So we're in the midst of beginning to start a phase one clinical trial of the marker that we use for apoptosis. This is a Wellcome Trust funded project where we'll be using intravenously administered fluorescent agent, which we can then pick up in the eye. So initially what we're hoping is this will be proved in glaucoma patients, which actually is my speciality. But the applications are obviously beyond that, as our recent paper suggested. Actually, the same form of cell death is present in Alzheimer's and early disease.
Okay. So are there risks associated with administering the fluorescein, as there are with fluorescein angiography?
actually it's much safer than fluorescein angiography. So even though we were saying fluorescence, it's the tag that's fluorescent. The actual protein that's being used to identify these dying cells is very safe. It's already been in roughly 30 clinical trials. The only difference is in those trials, it was tagged with a radioactive isotope. And in our trial, obviously, it's tagged with a fluorescent marker.
Do you think the fluorescence could be administered in a different way? I'm thinking about my high street practice and using this in an optometric setting.
Yes, absolutely. And we're very much geared towards this being a screening tool, which would mean it would have to be administered by the optometrists in the high street. We have already begun to develop and actually have proof of concept of an eye drop formulation, which works on exactly the same principle, and we can show that it gets to the back of the eye. So obviously that's the next stage of the development process.
So you administer the fluorescein intravenously. What happens next?
Within, actually, between half an hour and 2 hours, you get your maximal signal in the eye. So you take a photograph. In theory, you could use any camera that allows you to detect fluorescence. If you think about it, in your optometrist's office, a lot of the cameras that are used have a fluorescein angiography setting. So you could apply something very similar. In fact, the tag that we're using is not fluorescein, it's actually a near-infrared dye because of the fact that it's a much cleaner signal that we can pick up with that. And a lot of cameras already have that because of ICG.
Could you predict how long this is going to take until it's available widely?
I used to be very optimistic until I started down the regulatory pathway. I would like to say that by next year we will be doing our first patient. However, there are unforeseen things that could happen along the way. For example, that the regulatory side of things is more troublesome than we anticipated. So I could give you a very optimistic answer, but it wouldn't necessarily be the correct answer, which would be next year.
If we managed to get this as a high street test, do you think the benefit of it would be sufficiently great for the NHS to fund the procedure?
Absolutely. The sort of scenario that one would envisage would be applicable in a well-manned clinic. So you're acting as a screening test to try and identify very early the diseases that would otherwise lead to a very heavy socioeconomic burden on society. So something like Alzheimer's or glaucoma, or even the early phases of diabetic retinopathy, all of these are our target diseases with this one test. And if you can identify early diseases, then you stop the patient ever losing vision in the first place. And also you institute therapy very early and very quickly.
So at present, are you unable to distinguish between the different diseases that that cause cell death?
There is a different pattern of cell death associated with the different diseases. The one that is perhaps best characterised is glaucoma. So just as you get on a visual field an arcuate scotoma, do you know what I mean, involving the optic nerve and going along the papillomacular bundle, what we're expecting is the pattern of disease should reflect that same pathway. So where you're likely to see the greatest number of cells apoptosing the early stages would be where the earliest visual field changes eventually show up. With something like Alzheimer's, though, it wouldn't necessarily be along that pathway because there you don't have optic disc cupping. And what you probably then will find will be a generalised pattern. So in the screening procedure, possibly you may pick up definitely glaucoma, but you probably then need to go through other tests to differentiate which particular type of disease. For example, an Alzheimer's, a mini mental test score.
And there are beginning to be treatments that are effective for early Alzheimer's to prevent the progression of the disease.
Yes, absolutely. And the nice thing about all these treatments is they have widespread application. So, for example, the recent trial in glaucoma for a neuroprotective drug, and the word neuroprotective is used so that it's separate from IOP lowering in glaucoma, was memantine. And the only reason why it was trialled in the glaucoma patients was because it had already been approved by the FDA in Alzheimer's disease. So there are these widespread overlaps in terms of ways of stopping the nerve cell dying being the same.
Are there any other diseases where you think this technique might have a role?
Well, predominantly it will be neurodegenerative diseases. So other than Alzheimer's, we still need to prove, but it could be possible perhaps to pick up Parkinson's disease and possibly even Huntington's disease. And there is research out there already suggesting that the retina is affected in those as well.
Can this technique actually be used to monitor how effective the treatment is?
Absolutely. In fact, I believe in the short term that will be the first use of the actual diagnostic test, because it will serve almost as a surrogate marker or a new endpoint to trying to decide whether a therapy is effective or not. As an example of that, if you were to look at a lot of the research that my group have been doing with the technique in glaucoma models, we've been able to compare the efficacy for a number of potential neuroprotective drugs by looking at the number of cells dying through apoptosis and seeing after treatment whether that number goes down. And it would be the same thing that one would anticipate in clinic, because you would start off with a baseline number of apoptosing cells, you'd start the patient on the treatment. You could probably bring them back in a week, but, you know, in real terms in clinic in the NHS, we're probably talking about at least a month. If the number of apoptosing cells had not gone down, then obviously your treatment wasn't working and you would either stop that and switch or add an additional treatment. However, if it had worked, then you would feel quite confident that you were doing the correct thing and you could monitor that patient at a longer time interval.
So that would be another really useful application for it.
Yes, really absolutely. And, you know, in both Alzheimer's and glaucoma, we really have an unmet need in terms of good clinical endpoints. And we're very much hoping that the technology will fulfil that unmet need.
Many thanks to Gwyneth and Francesca for that. As ever, suggestions for further reading can be found accompanying your CD and on the OQ webpage.